Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Well, this show is brought to you by O'Reilly. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go down there today. They have their professional parts people, and they can help you find the exact battery you need for your vehicle. Check them out at O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. All right. Well, a Vegas recap. I was just got off a plane back from Las Vegas, Cousin Sal's 50th anniversary or 50th birthday party. Check that out. Also, Kyle Dunnigan's coming in. Lots of laughs to be had in this show. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other. And then there's your automotive policy. Why don't you get your bundle working? Why don't you take your homeowner's or your renter's insurance and bundle it up with your automotive policy? And it's a good thing, too, because Geico makes it easy to get your bundle on. So you go to geico.com, you get a quote, you see just how much you could save and just how easy it is to save when you go to Geico. That is geico.com.
One third of all murder cases in America remain open.
He had told me that if I opened my eyes, he would slit my throat.
Each one is called a cold case.
The DNA evidence taken from the victim was a match. The linen rapist was at it again.
Based on the hit A&E television program.
A phone call is placed, one that changes a family's life forever.
Cold Case Files, the podcast.
You could see the fire in his eyes. He screamed at me. You want it? Get your tape recorder out.
Get new episodes of Cold Case Files every Tuesday on Podcast One, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Inside the toolbox where nostalgia just isn't what it used to be. Paul Davis released this song in 82, originally calling it 55 Love Affair, but he was 7 in 55, so he added a decade to 65 Love Affair on the toolbox.
I was a car hop, you were in the bebop, you said doo-bop, giddy-wop, giddy-wop.
Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Kyle Dunnigan. With Gina Grad on news and Paul Bryant on sound effects. And now, if you build it, he will come. That's to say, if you talk about building, he'll have an orgasm. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice, but going to mandate you get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Love that about you. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
K-E-W-L.
All right. So I just landed here. Landed out in Van Nuys, California. Probably about 8 miles from where we are right now.
Jet setter.
Jet setter. So I just flew in from Vegas. We had Cousin Sal's 50th birthday party, all orchestrated and put on by one Jimmy Kimmel. And let's see. So I'll try to unpack all the stuff from the weekend. But
sell this right away. Was it a surprise or was it not?
Not a surprise.
Okay, good to know. Oh,
I do feel like a good part of my life is saying shit, and then other people rush don't say that. And I'm like, what? Okay. Yeah, wasn't a surprise. What? So we did a roast for Sal on Friday night. And then the surprise, I think, was we had all these videos. Everyone made a video. Mm-hmm. So the edict went out from Jimmy, which is like everyone put together a video of like a funny Cousin Sal story. Keep it short. And we did it. I'll play you mine tomorrow. We don't have it here right now. But everyone's there's a lot of back and forth. Like, we need the video. You got to send the video out. Here's the deadline for the video. We're going to edit the video. And all the videos were too long. And Jimmy nixed the whole thing because he's disgusted in the production.
Wow. So the surprise was that it didn't have
value of it. But they're all out. I spent time on mine. We'll show it tomorrow, but you'll see that there was some production involved with what I was doing. But either way.
This is all well and good. How did you get there, man?
We're going to Vegas. We're going to stay at Caesars. We're going to party with Sal. We're going to Friday night. Schedule is Friday night at Jimmy's Club. Jimmy has a comedy club out there, as you guys know about.
We opened it.
Yeah.
Right.
Soft opening.
We're going to go there. And we're going to have pizza and salad and drinks and whatever. And then we're going to go roast Cousin Sal. We're going to go upstairs and roast Cousin Sal.
And Sal seems like the kind of guy that can take a roast.
Yeah.
He can give a roast.
Jimmy was roasting. I was roasting. Jeff Ross tested positive for COVID or something and couldn't fly or something. Jeff Ross didn't roast, but his sister Ivy and...
Ivy is quietly very funny. The person no one knows. I'm sure you've never heard of
Iacono.
I worked with her, and I'm friends with her on whatever, Facebook. Or whatever. She's quietly very funny.
Jeff's sister.
Sal's sister, right?
Sal's sister.
I thought we were talking about Jeff. Got it.
Right. So we're going to roast. It's kind of interesting, like, as a dynamic psychologically, which is I was going to roast, or I was going to close out the roast. It's like, all right, we're roasting Cousin Sal, but in the room is, you know, Jimmy's on stage, Sal's on stage. There's some heavy hitters in media that are there and, you know, you don't want to go up there and lay an egg in front of like some really seriously funny people who are sort of thinking you're funny. So, I was working out some of the jokes. Of course, I don't have a lot of time to dedicate to the roast, you know. So I was trying to like work out some beats, and I found myself just moments before we were leaving for the airport, just with Matt, the Porcelain Punisher, trying to work out the roast stuff. We wrote it down. So I can get to that. So
were they, if I may ask politely or otherwise, were they your jokes or were they Mike Lynch jokes or were they some combination? Because it's harder to commit other people's stuff to memory, of course.
I gave Mike a list of like some notions I had for roasting Sal earlier in the week. I got hold of him like in the afternoon on Friday and I sort of said, you know, what do you got? And he was like, man, I don't have much. So we just ended up going with my stuff. So
fix up car for Pebble Beach.
Right. So it was like, you know, most of the stuff is sort of inside baseball, Cousin Sal. You know, it's not, they're not traditional universal roast jokes, but we can get into that in a second. So Baby Doll was there. Nice. And Bill Simmons was there, and Clay Travis was there, who just took over for Rush Limbaugh in like 400 markets or so. And
that crew.
Of course, Jimmy. And
sweet shirt.
Yeah, wearing my Love Boat shirt. So, and also,
like, as if you have one.
Speaking, I do have multiple Love Boat shirts. But so there's a couple of things. One is like, where's everyone landing in life? You know, when I met Cousin Sal, he picked me and Jimmy up from the airport. He lived in Long Island, picked us up from JFK in like 1996 or something. But when a year later, we were sitting in a restaurant in Manhattan, bad Chinese restaurant, someplace Jimmy would never eat at. And it was me and Jimmy and Sal and his girlfriend at the time, and we're just sitting there, and Jimmy was saying, like, you have to come out to L.A. You have to try show business. Like, we're going to give it a run. You know, this is 97. And Sal's like, I'm an attorney. He was an attorney. I don't know what kind of attorney, but he was an attorney.
I actually never knew that.
And his girlfriend, like, sort of, I don't know if she was fiance, but she was like, yeah, we're going to get married and we're going to live in Long Island. And she was
plans.
She was a school teacher. And she was like looking at Jimmy going, no, 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 no. He's not going anywhere. And Sal was like, I don't know. And she was like, no, he's got to go to L.A. so he can have a life. And she was like, he's not going to L.A. And I was just sitting in between these people who were starting to yell at each other about, he's not going anywhere. Go, get out, get the fuck out of the restaurant. I was like, I didn't really, I just came with Jimmy. Like, I don't really have a dog in this
fight.
You're
the uncomfortable plus one.
Right, so he came. Yeah. But it's also funny, like, you know, you go to these parties, 50th, you start, like, thinking back, like, oh, yeah, I remember I was standing in Jimmy's office when Bill Simmons got off the plane from Boston, and, like, he was a blogger.
Yeah, he was a notable, yeah, sports blogger. He was the Boston sports guy.
Like a sports blogger. Sports. He, like, rolled into Jimmy, and he's like, Jimmy, this Adam, that's Bill, Adam, like, you guys can write together. Thinking back, there's a guy there named Rob Mills. Rob Mills runs ABC. He runs all the unscripted stuff for ABC and like Disney Plus and Hulu or whatever.
It's a big gig.
So everyone's sort of like, he's at the party. Nice guy. Rob Mills was like a PA on my talk show. And he was a nobody. He was a zero burger. And now he's running ABC. So everyone's like, oh, you know, put my reality show on your network. But point is time passes quickly. You don't know where people are going to end up. Be nice to people.
Be cool, man.
Be cool, man, because you don't know where these people are going or what lays ahead.
As an outsider at the time, I remember, I think the first time I was aware of Cousin Sal as an entity was when Jimmy was doing Win Ben Stein's Money. And I think Cousin Sal was like brought on there as maybe like a quote unquote replacement host for Jimmy or something.
Oh, right,
like,
right.
Something that effect. You know what I mean? He was like in the running. I think it was a bit for the show. But
so Jimmy had his club with the roast on Friday night. Then Saturday was Four Cabanas by the Caesar's pool, the upper deck pool, and everyone hanging out. And then Saturday night was, God.
All right for fighting?
Yeah. Was dinner at, shit.
Was it?
I wrote it down on my hand.
Oh. But I know you didn't wash your hand. It should still be there.
Rayos? Yeah. Jimmy's is like a Rayos guy.
In
no,
Vegas?
It was the...
There's a Rayos in Vegas.
Oh.
No, I'll think of the name. But no, wasn't it Caesars? We walked across the street to Colonel something, whatever.
Sanders.
Yeah.
Adam Perry Lang?
Adam Perry Lang was at the party.
Oh, so doesn't he have a place in Vegas? I don't know.
I'll think of the name of the place. Anyway, that was great. Everything was great. You know, it's Jimmy. He's paying for everything. It's all awesome.
Is there footage of the roast?
No, I don't know. Somebody like streamed it or something, because I got a text from Jeff Ross like the next morning going, oh, you killed it on the roast. So he was back in L.A. watching it. But either way, it's kind of interesting. It's like all these people you've known for 20 years and everyone's still going strong. Mm-hmm. And they're all, the thing that's interesting is they're all doing something different or more than what they were doing. You know, I'm hanging out with Kevin Hench. He's making all these TV shows. Like, everyone was kind of doing nothing and a nobody. The guy I like the most is Jake Lentz. Jake Lentz is this dude. He's from Minnesota. He's like a regular dude, salt of the earth, a kind of Minnesota guy. But he went to Harvard, but he's very kind of nonchalant about it. He's not like a Harvard guy. And he was writing for Kimmel. And then, like, probably about 15 years ago, he just said, I think I want to be a doctor.
Wow.
And I was like, what kind of doctor? And he's like a real doctor, like a physician.
Oh.
I'll do like emergency, you know, I'll do ER work.
Jesus.
That's
and
a
I was
real
like,
doctor.
you're writing jokes for Kimmel. And he's like, yeah, but that's what I want to do. He just dropped out, went off, went to UCLA. Went to medical school, did his whole thing, passed everything, done everything, and now he's an ER doctor.
God
I was just
bless.
Like sitting around and talking to him. I was like, yeah, been doing it for a while. And the thing that was interesting, it was like, Jake's just great guy. Again, just regular guy, salt of the earth, Minnesota guy. But he's like, yeah, so I'm training these young guys, these rookies that are coming into the hospital. I'm like, oh, because I remember when we were talking and you were talking about being a doctor and now you're in charge of all these young rookies that are coming into the hospital. And I just thought, you blink your eyes, 20 years goes by, fucking do your shit. Like, do what you want to do. Like, it happens fast. Like, it seemed insane that he would want to be a physician when I was talking to him years ago. But I never poo-pooed it because I was always like, this guy does what he wants to do and he's good at it. Man. So it's like, just let him go be a doctor. Just went and became a doctor.
World needs more ER doctors. Yeah. World doesn't need more comedy writers.
True.
That's right.
Is this the first example we've all ever heard of somebody going that direction as opposed to,
the other way?
I went to medical school. My parents wanted me to be a doctor. I said, you know, fuck it. I'm going to be a stand-up. And you never hear this version.
Yeah.
The backwards version.
Yeah. We don't. Or we didn't. But anyway, then it's like nice. You know, there's Jimmy's parents that are the best. Joan and Jim, they're always there. You know, it's like Jimmy puts he has such a family. Like all the cousins and the aunts and the uncles and everyone shows up and everyone's sweet. And now they're all bringing their kids and everyone's got kids now. Like it's just it's an example of how to live your life, like, essentially.
Question. I still want to hear about the journey, because the physical, actual journey, because that sounds pretty awesome. But Sal's 50. Everyone's in their 50s or older. He doesn't drink. What was the Vegas vibe like? Was there gambling? Was there carousing?
Yeah, so there was the club night.
Or was it more calm?
There's probably about 150 people at the club.
And this was all invite for Sal.
Yeah, all invite for Sal. We went and did the club on Friday night. The pool had maybe 40 or 50 people at it, and then there's another 150 at the restaurant.
Jesus.
Wow. I'm trying to think of what it's called. You know, Jimmy bought out the restaurant. It was awesome. God, it was at the... I wrote it down, and then I washed it.
I'm seeing someone saying the Major Domo.
Major Domo. Yeah, I was saying Colonel something. But yes, Major Domo was awesome. I don't know. Def Frat Guy was there.
All right.
They're all, you know, Jimmy's kids were there. Now his daughter's getting married. Like, we're going to that's coming up in a month. Like, it's just, you blink your eyes. But also, you live your life. Like, you know, everyone is... You know, Jimmy's like led such a crazy life, but he's always spread it around. He's always invited everyone and put everyone together. And so everyone has all these great stories.
You know what's interesting about that? I think we're all more used to, again, the opposite of one gets more famous and one starts shedding friendships, shedding people. But Jimmy is very much the opposite.
No, I talked to his friend Tommy, his friend Jimmy Gentleman. The real name. These are all high school friends
coming
of his.
The main stage.
They're all at the party. And I've known these guys for 25 years too, because when I met Jimmy, he's like, oh, this is Tommy. That's Jimmy. These guys I went to high school with. Like, you got to hang out with those guys. So the transportation was, I told Matt, the Porcelain Punisher Fondelier, like, get me a Southwest flight. Out of Burbank.
The best seat in the house.
The best seat in Southwest.
Only the best.
And fly Southwest. You know, I was like, okay, so we're going to leave Friday at like 5 o'clock, and then the roast is at like 8 o'clock, and that's how we'll... I came here Friday to work, and then I'll wait around for a while, and then we'll go on the flight. When I walked out of the studio on Thursday... I had a text from Mark Garagos, and Mark Garagos is like, you going to Vegas this weekend? I'm like, yeah. He's like, you want to take the plane?
Ooh.
The big plane.
Big boy.
Big boy. And I was like, yeah, sure. Yeah, I want to do that. But
I don't not want to.
Then I wrote, now the thing that was funny is I texted Mark back. I was like, yes, I would like to take your plane to Vegas, but... I was assuming that he was going somewhere
Right.
And then he would drop us off in Vegas, as he's apt to do. He'll drop us off in Nashville and then go to New York or wherever he's going. But so I wrote him back, and it was interesting. I wrote him back, and I said, yes, I would like to take your plane, but I am not comfortable with just taking your plane. If you are going somewhere or it's a business thing, then that's fine, but I'm not comfortable with just taking your plane to Vegas. And I looked at the word comfortable for a while because that's not how I talk, but it sounded professional to me. Right. Like, I am not comfortable taking your generosity or whatever.
Otherwise, indubitably.
Then he just wrote back, comfortable? What the fuck? When do you say comfortable? And I was like, I don't know. I was trying to be like an adult. And he's like, you don't write comfortable on anything. Like, what the fuck? Which was funny. And then he went, no, I'll tell you the story later. There's 10 seats. Take them all. Go ahead to Vegas.
Whoa.
So then I was like, all right. But I was used to the one-way flight with Mark.
Yeah.
I was used to him dropping us off somewhere, going somewhere else. So I immediately, this is Thursday late afternoon, and I know everyone's going Friday. So I'm like, okay. So I got 10 seats. So I got hold of Jimmy, and I said, Jimmy, you and Sal, you want to get on a private plane? And he said, we're already in Vegas.
He's already on one.
He's already on. He's in Vegas already. So I said, okay, Danny Two Sheets, you want to go? And Daniel's like, well, yeah, but we got a first class upgrade and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it's one way. We're just going one way. And then I get hold of Mike, and I'm trying to get hold of everybody to go, do you want to go? Because I want to fill up the plane.
You're making it worth it. And one flew over the cuckoo's nest. You know, just running around
the let's troops, go.
Get the Dodgers game on.
Get the Indian to pull the drinking fountain out of the ground.
That's right.
So,
Chief.
Chief. So I'm like, who's going? Well, it's less than 24 hours, but who doesn't want to fly, private?
Right.
And then Daniel's like, well, we couldn't fly back if we canceled our flight there because we got upgraded. I don't know. Point is I'm trying to recruit people.
Just you on this plane with a tilted party hat.
Right. Well, I got Mike. I know I got Mike and his wife, but now it's just three of us on a 10-seater. So I'm trying to recruit everyone. And then at some point on Thursday night, Mike's like, we need the manifest because we need to know who's on the flight for the thing and the pilot and that stuff. And I'm like, well, I said to Mike, well, we're just flying there. Daniel can't go because it will stop his return flight. He won't be able to do his return flight. And then Mike's like, we're not flying both ways? And I'm like,
fair question.
No, I don't think so. And he's like, oh, I canceled my entire flight. I canceled the return flight. And I'm like, oh, well, I don't know. I think we're just flying there. And he's like, oh, boy. So then he gets on the phone and blah, blah, blah. Turns out we got the flight both ways. Oh, nice. And it's a big fucking jet, too. Like, it's the big boy. And so I'm like, oh. And so then I get back on with Daniel and his wife. And I'm like, you got to fly. And then I call Scott Holmes, who's a Grizzly, who's a friend of Sal's, too. And I'm like, are you going out? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, cancel your flight. Like, you're coming out with us. We got a round-trip flight. Blah, blah, blah. It's actually funny. A lot of people drove to Vegas because I was at the party last night with three or four more seats left on the plane. I kept going to people like, you want to fly home with us? And they were like, we drove. Mm. We drove. A lot of people drove.
So at this point in my life, having done that drive and flight many times, I can't imagine a scenario in which I would drive again.
It's the worst. And there's nothing. You think getting
the
there is bad?
Drive home is the fucking, is
Thank
the nuts
you.
Worse. As
Thank
they
you.
Said.
Yeah, I think,
that's a 2-7 off suit.
I think people with kids, like they had their kids or I don't know. So I was trying to recruit everyone. Either way, we flew there. We flew back. We flew on Garagus' plane. I still don't know the answer from him as to why that was a good thing or okay. I talked to him on Friday. It's just like, just take the plane.
And don't
I'm like,
argue.
All right, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of fuel. It's like, it's expensive, you know.
Like,
and he's
heading
like,
to Minneapolis end of the month.
Yeah, he's like, we're just take the plane. So he said, it's a long story. I'll tell you. I think he's going to Salt Lake City this afternoon or something. Anyway, I was trying to
feels like very Brewster's Millions. Like there's some reason someone had to use that plane.
Yeah. So that was interesting. The party was great. Everything was great. It was great getting caught up with everyone. It's also it's really nice to catch up with people who were doing something different when I met them, and now they're doing something very different now, and it's all sort of good.
Sure.
And
the answer to what's up with you is, oh, same old.
Yeah. It's like people were out there. A lot of successful people in that group who weren't all that successful when I met them, but they were just kind of constantly sort of slogging away and having success. All right.
That's great.
So I got my roast jokes.
All right.
But the...
are we going to get it? Are they all inside
jokes?
Yeah,
that's the whole thing. Like they're all kind of...
Sal's blood type is...
Inside... inside jokes. Guys know Brad?
Brad.
Yeah, see. Uncle
is that,
Frank.
Is that his insane friend Brad?
Insane friend Brad. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so part of the...
Gina, Sal has a friend named Brad who makes Ray look like the mayor of Anaheim.
Oh, no.
Upstanding. An insane person.
Oh, boy.
You have a Cousin Sal video?
We have your Cousin Sal video.
Oh, we did? Oh,
yeah,
we found it?
We found it, yeah.
Oh, okay. So Jimmy said, everyone put together a two-minute video and... We'll run it at the restaurant, and then everyone's video sucked so badly that Jimmy got disgusted with everyone and never ran it.
Well, we all ran over time. That was the real sin.
Right. So we'll play my video. Hi, my name is Adam Carolla, and here's my Cousin Sal story. The first time I ever met Cousin Sal, Jimmy and I were flying into New York to do Kevin and Bean mornings for a week over there. Now, and we decided to come. Matt Fondelier is doing sign language.
Have
Cousin
Sal
pick
in us a picture up in picture on the side.
JFK. Right.
Well, I'd never met Cousin Sal before, intrigued after
that
all
was
the
good
stories,
right?
The humorous stories Jimmy told me about Cousin Sal. So we flew in at night. Tower Air, defunct, by the way. No gate, had to take a bus to the plane.
Killing.
By the way, never a good sign when you have to take another mode of transportation to another mode of transportation. We took a bus to the plane, and Cousin Sal was going to pick us up at night at JFK. Now, I used to think Cousin Sal was sane before I met him. What I didn't know about Cousin Sal is that he did not know his way from his airport to his house. We
the
got
sign language is slowly taking
Cousin
over the
Sal's
screen.
It's taking over the entire screen.
From his hometown airport. Meaning, it would be like someone who was born and raised in Denver, Colorado, pick someone up at the International Denver Airport and couldn't figure out how to get back to their home in Denver. Really think about that for a moment. We finally made it back to the home after fueling and running over a median. And that night, I slept in the guest bedroom, which was sort of a rumpus room by the washer dryer, on a pile of sand-covered dirty clothes. And that morning, I was sexually assaulted by Sal's mother because she thought I was Jimmy, although that still doesn't explain the sex part of the assault. Anyway, that's my Cousin Sal's story.
Oh, shit. That's brilliant.
Bold gambit making Fondelier the star.
Seriously, stole the show.
Oh, good.
I was like sitting around and I was like, all right, everyone was, so Jimmy and Molly, who works on Jimmy's show and is the co-lead head writer and blah, 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 like they know funny.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, they come to me and they're like, we want a video. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to just make it like Aunt Fran or Cousin Ivy just like sitting and talking. And it's like, I'm me. I want to make it funny. Like, I want something good. And then I started thinking about, like, what is a good, funny story? Like, what's a funny story? And the story was, yes, I did. Sal picked us up from the airport. Sal didn't know how to get home. it's essentially like you picking up someone at LAX right. and then not knowing where your home
right.
was. It's odd. To me, at the time, who'd never left North Hollywood and been on an airplane and stuff, it's sort of like, well, we're in Long Island or New York. Like, who knows where anything is? There's bridges and stuff. But as I got older, I was like, he doesn't know where his house is. He lives here.
He could literally take Sepulveda for 30 miles to get home.
He's been here. Right. So... and then I did sleep on the bed down by the washing machine with there was a bunch of dirty clothes on it. And Aunt Fran, his crazy mom, did dive on me in the morning thinking it was Jimmy and blah, blah, blah. And, but anyway, I was like, maybe I'll tell that story. And somehow, maybe it's a COVID thing, but I sort of realized that everyone is doing sign language. It's ubiquitous. Like everyone's doing sign.
The interpreter, yeah.
Yeah. And I was driving in and I thought, I bet Matt Fondalier could fake sign.
Yeah.
He looks like a sign guy.
Yes.
He could do it. I bet he could do that. I didn't ask anyone else. And I was like, I went right in. I said, Matt, could you fake sign? And he's like, yeah, I think I could. And I was like, all right, I'm going to talk and you just sign. Do your gibberish sign while I talk. And I started talking. He was gibberish sign. I was like, okay, you can do it. Now bring a black turtleneck. Do you have a black sweater or something? And then we'll film you in front of a brick wall. And then we'll do this whole thing where you'll, I'll record the story and then we'll play it back to you. Mm-hmm. And then while we're playing it back to you, you're just going to have to gibberish sign in front of this brick facade. So we filmed them with Nate and everything else. And then at a certain point I went, he should be the whole show. He should take over the entire screen with his hand with the sign language.
It was a slow zoom.
Yeah, it was a slow zoom.
I didn't realize it until it was.
Yeah, you don't realize it at the beginning, but eventually you can't see me anymore, and you see.
Oh, it's so good.
And I was like, oh, okay, this is funny. So then I sent it to Jimmy, and then Jimmy was disgusted with everyone else. So we never aired.
They should have just played that.
They should have just played mine.
The baby
right?
in the bathwater.
Yeah,
I know. It's very funny. And if any kids are listening, this is why you never should try.
Mm-hmm. Never put forth effort.
Never fucking burn calories. I was like, obviously, we're not getting paid. It's not going to air. It's not going to any.
Waste my time.
It's not going to do anything. But it's going to be for Jimmy and Molly right. and Sal and Bill and we're going to have baby doll. Like everyone's Kevin Hench. You're all going to be in the room and they're going to see my video and they're going to go, "Oh, this guy tried."
Right.
Like they put this shit together.
No acknowledgement whatsoever.
No, but we'll put it up at Adam Carolla.
Damn, that was funny.
Deleted scene for the director's cut.
Yeah, Matt
unearthed.
I've never discussed sign language with Matt before, but I was like, Matt looks like one of those guys, and I think he could pull it off.
Mm. And played it so straight.
Yes.
Beautiful.
All right. Kyle Dunnigan is here. Let me hit Tommy John. Tommy John. This summer, soak up the sun, not the sweat. Tommy John, cool cotton fabric, 2 to 3 times cooler than regular cotton. Get a new pair of Tommy John underwear and let your buns breathe. Dozens of comfort innovations like breathable, lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric with 4 times the stretch of competing brands. Once you go with Tommy John, you will never go back. It is the best. Please, people, listen to me when I tell you that once you get into Tommy John underwear, you will never go back to whatever you're currently wearing unless you're wearing Tommy John. Mm. They don't have customers. They have fanatics. And I just got off the road. You bring your Tommy John. You pack them wherever you go. And like I said, especially when it gets warm outside, best pair you'll ever wear. Or it's free. Guaranteed. Right, Dawson?
Right now, get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Adam. Go to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam. See site for details.
I'm sorry. I'm still laughing at the 1-2 punch of like, oh, look, Fondalier, it's so funny. And then realizing how big it had gotten. And I was like, did I black out? Like, I really didn't realize it until you were really almost off the screen.
I had missed an edit.
Yeah, me too. And I died laughing again.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it's always like, when you... It's nice. I mean, the process is kind of nice where it's like, I was just like going, I want to make a video. I don't want to just be sitting there telling a Sal story. I want to kind of come up with an angle of something that's different that would set it apart, that would make it more interesting. And I was kind of like, it's going to be played at a dinner and people are going to be talking and right. eating and they're not going to hear everything.
Another component.
And I started thinking like, well, maybe I would wear something like a smoking jacket or do something sort of visual or something, whatever. And I was just sort of ruminating on it. And then at some point I was like, hand sign language, like closed caption, like put them in a corner. Mm-hmm. And then I was sort of like, could we do that? Yeah, we could do that. We have edit bays and cameras right. and whatever. And I was like, who would do the sign? And then it started like going into, well, maybe the sign should take over the entire screen. But it is, it's a nice look into the process. The process yeah. is just like, I'd like to do something different, but I don't know what that different is.
Hey, well, real quick. I'm sure everyone did good. I'm sure everyone did well at the roast. Who killed it? Who was like, that guy brought it. That guy, or exceeded expectations.
I think me.
That's all I was looking for. Mr. No self-esteem.
Yeah. No, it was like, my jokes killed because they were like, it's like Uncle Frank. Uncle Frank was this bigger-than-life character sure. passed about 7-8 years ago. And Frank's move, I told you, he would put the claw on everyone's upper arm. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he had all these crazy ideas. You know, he was trying to talk. He had this whole thing about Jimmy needed to be mayor of Hollywood, you know, and he's like grabbing my arm and he was like, hey, you could talk Jimmy into being mayor of Hollywood. And I was like, I couldn't talk Jimmy into fucking being mayor of Hollywood. You know, he was very earnest. Like Uncle Frank's side of the family and Jimmy's side, I mean, it just in general, they're very sincere people.
He's a very genuine
they're
guy.
Genuine, like, oh, hi, Adam. Oh, it's so nice.
Like, when he asks how you're doing, he wants to know.
They're waiting for the answer.
Yes, they're like really regular people. Anyway, I had an Uncle Frank joke here somewhere. Let's see. Oh, Uncle Frank. So again, it's a whole room of people that know Uncle Frank. His daughters are in the room and blah, blah, blah. Uncle Frank will be missed. Obviously, he's not here tonight. But I'd like to think right now he's up in heaven with his huge hand clamped onto Warren Zevon's upper arm, trying to convince him to run for governor of Hollywood. Now, not a great roast joke, but great if you're in that room. Well, I'll give you some more. But Dunnigan's here, right? So we'll bring Kyle in, and we'll do that right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know. It's hard work out there, owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle your policies at Geico? Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam, did you know that DJ Khaled has a Poshmark account? Yeah, you can go on there and you can buy some of his used, custom-made suits. Just thought you might be interested. Bye!
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Unlikely comedian Kyle Dunnigan has joined us.
Unlikely what?
It just struck me. It's like, Kyle, obviously one of the funniest guys we know, and a YouTube show, The Fresh Prez of DC, and we'll play the opening to that.
Oh, noish.
But.
Yes.
It's interesting. Yeah. I'm trying to think. When you meet Jeff Ross, you go, oh, that guy's a comedian. Right. Like, seems like a comedian. All the trappings of a comedian, all the earmarks of a comedian.
Right.
Like, when you meet Kyle Dunnigan, you go, it doesn't seem like a comedian.
I was forced into it a little bit.
And Kyle, by the way, I've seen Kyle's act at the Comedy Store. Forget about impressions. He's just funny on his own. Like, he just goes out there and does comedy. Like, it's not like you think it's all going to be a kind of rich little thing.
Right.
It's not. He just does comedy.
To that point, this is actually for anyone who was at Brian's event. With Bald Brian, when you were up there, Kyle, you said something in one of your bits that my fiance and I have not stopped saying since the night you said it. And how long ago was that?
November 2019.
Okay, so for
let me guess this,
you won't.
I'm Kyle Dunnigan.
So when you were doing the bit about the magician,
oh yeah,
and you're like, This is a ball, a simple ball, nothing more, nothing less.
Yes, yes, yes.
We laughed so hard every time we pick something up. We'll go, this is a simple phone, nothing more, nothing less.
It's funny,
we
I've never done that before or since.
It was so funny.
That's a problem.
Funny.
I forget a lot of stuff.
Well, please remember that, because it was such a great little side moment.
Yeah, I do good magic hands.
Yes,
like, I can
great
make
magic
it look
hands.
Like I do magic, but I don't.
Speaking of forgetting, I'd forgotten what Kyle's voice and face sound and look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
How is it? Do you guys like
it? Oh, let me give you guys something I was screaming about at the party last night. You know when you're drunk and you think of something that's important to you?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
And you announce it to the group and it's not nearly as important to them. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, all right.
You're like, to me.
They're like, I'm drunk. This is important to me. Yeah. I don't know why it's not important to you all. Yeah. But I was looking up some actor from The Love Boat or something.
Oh, no.
And doing my research, doing my show prep.
Sure.
And I went down that rabbit hole of, like, net worth, you know, like, Beyonce or Oprah? Like, who's net worth? You know, it's so easy to stumble onto those stupid little cookies and, like, the next thing you know, you're going down the thing. Clickbait. And I started looking at it, and Jack Nicholson, a net worth, $400 million.
Okay.
$400 million.
I was like, right under it, Sylvester Stallone, $400 million.
Oh.
And I was like, this guy's launched like 7 franchises. I mean, this guy has so many. He's the
Rambo, Rocky.
Yeah, it's like there's a bunch of franchises. Like Jack's, you know, Jack's great. He's a gun for hire. But why?
100% right. Is there a divorce or two in Stallone's background? And I think his overhead is a lot higher because he's like an art collector. Like, I don't know.
Does it take all that into account?
I don't fucking know. It can't be that accurate. But I'm saying, I think Stallone lives a
Jack, like, I like, you know, Jack's fine. He's a great actor, blah, blah, blah. He's been in a bunch of stuff, but he's not launching these franchises. You know what I mean? If you just take a look at just Rambo and Rocky alone have generated $700 billion worth of revenue and are ubiquitous. How is it that their net worth is $400? Now, look, I'm not saying the thing's accurate, but it's equally inaccurate for everybody. You know what I mean?
I think Jack invested in something. He got a lot of Batman money. He had a good deal on that, I remember.
He got points on Batman. Yeah. He was like an early, not adopter, but like one of the guys like, oh, you're a huge star. Please be in our comic book movie in 1989. Yeah. He made $100 million off that movie.
But it is weird that, you know, Stallone's writing and producing the Expendables and, like, he's doing all this stuff. And, like, Jack's home getting blown.
He's courtside.
And he's just like, they're the same, he's a little older or whatever, but they're the same net worth, according to whatever this website was.
I'm a lot better actor than that clown.
Yeah, but Jack, you didn't start.
But nothing.
You didn't start Rocky, the Expendables.
But I was in that Batman movie, and I reinvented the Joker.
Most of it was like makeup, though, right?
Well, a lot of it was makeup, I guess. But that Rocky guy wore some makeup, too, if I remember.
Well, not just a fake
shiner,
sweat.
He had a black eye, I think, in one of those as well. I don't do a great Jack, but I'll just jump into it.
It's serviceable. Yeah. Do we have the opening for the Fresh Prez of DC, by the way?
Okay, and finally, new rule. Comedians can't make fun of Joe Biden. Because it's impossible. Because he's been great. I know a bunch of fat people are disappointed. Because trying to make fun of Joe Biden is like praying to God. A complete waste of time. Okay, that's our show. I want to thank my guests, Benjamin Netanyahu and Pete Davidson.
Benjamin.
Who's this Joe Biden everyone keeps talking about? Well, I was born and raised in Scranton, PA. Lifeguard by the pools where I spent my days. Till a dude named Corn Pop, what's that cool? Started making trouble at the swimming pool. So I took a chain, wrapped it around my legs. They're hairier than my other legs. Black kids would touch them. Come on, man. Then I got on a train and moved to D.C. Jirok Jabrama gave a job to me. I shuffled around and sucked fingertips. Made a big speech, kissed a boy on the lips. What are you looking at? I wrote the damn bill. I hold the ladies tight and sniff all their hairs. First person American to fall up the stairs. Ran for president, I was a winner. Winner was me. Now I sit at my desk as a president. You know the thing. Come on, get your face out of your ears.
Come on, man. Nice.
Phenomenal.
Oh, man. Get your face out of your ears.
Is it possible that Joe Biden goes all 4 years?
No.
It does not seem possible, right?
You've been saying that for a while. I mean, this is not...
Hey, he's made a lifetime out of proving people wrong.
Right.
But it doesn't seem like 4 years.
It seems like a tall order.
We're 6 months in, and yeah. I don't think we're going 4 years, yeah. Right? Like, Kamala?
Is there an over-under on like a Vegas odds?
Oh, there probably is, actually.
I mean,
really, that lasts for 4 years?
Definitely not eight.
No. No, but four sort of seems like a stretch to me. But I don't know.
Yeah. How old is he, 74?
No, he's 78.
Oh, 112.
Boy. I think he's turning 79.
He's going full Strom Thurmond.
And he's like, but I mean, this stuff sort of kicks in, yeah. Speeds up, yeah. At the end, you, yeah. Know? Like, I just, it's not like, you know, if you see footage of him from when he was 67, it's like, it seems like you're listening to a different human,
yeah.
Being.
Very sharp.
Right. So I don't know. Joe?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't listening to what you were saying.
I was just saying, like, we think you're in for the full term. You got another look, 3.5 years.
Yeah, man. Look. Here's what we have to understand. I've been in the show business for 24 years. Mm. A long time.
Show business?
And every year it goes by is different. But not a different. Look, we... Come on, man.
Joe, are you there?
Man, look. Get your vaccine, man. You get your vaccine.
Is Kamala Harris, you think she may step up and...
Kamala Harris is ready to go. She's waiting in the wings. She's waiting in the wings, man.
Oh, okay.
Get your face out of your face. Look.
Okay.
Come on. You're acting nervous, man. Look.
No, I'm just saying. It's like Kamala Harris.
No,
it's like maybe
Kamala Harris, yeah, man. That's what I said. Look. Here's the deal. You go out. You get your mask. You go to the vaccination booth, CVS, Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
You sit down in the chair, man, and the thing pokes in there. That's how you get it.
That wasn't the question.
I was thinking about this, and there's certain things that I don't enjoy watching. Mm. You know, vivisection and just seeing dog poop by the side of the, sure. You know, side of the street when you're walking your dog and stuff. I don't enjoy seeing people being vaccinated. And I was like watching CNN the other day or news or whatever it was. And I realized I've seen several thousand hours of people just being like, because the way news works is they go like, well, we got to talk about vaccination rates, vaccinations amongst the elderly, vaccinations amongst the Hispanics and the blacks. So they go, well, get some B-roll,
yeah,
of people
B-roll.
Being vaccinated, yeah. Because we're, yeah. Saying vaccinated and there's no way we could ever conjure that image in our mind. Yeah. We would be totally confused. I've seen so, like, needles being, when I watch a movie, if there's a junkie and the junkie, like, ties off,
yeah.
And they're doing, I will avert, yeah. My gaze.
It's like, retractable. It's retractable.
I will literally put my, yeah. Hand up because I don't want to see a guy putting,
yeah,
a,
I don't either.
I have seen several hundred thousand hours of elderly people being jabbed in the upper shoulder. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I probably more. Footage. I've seen more images of vaccinations in the last 6 months than my entire life combined.
No.
And it's not helpful. It's just like, it doesn't do anything. It's weird. You know, you have to kind of process it. Like, ooh, that needle went way in. That old guy's skinny. Like, how far did that go in? That may have punctured a lung, you know.
Mr. Burns go straight through.
Yeah, like, I'm just watching. It's just over and over and over again. Yeah. Could we do something with that?
Do
or
less.
Could we just talk about vaccinations, yeah. And show puppies or something?
Yeah. It makes you not want to get a vaccine.
The visual doesn't help.
No.
It doesn't help. Yeah.
Wasn't,
right.
It like the beginning of the polio vaccine? They gave it to kids on a sugar cube. Maybe we just see kids taking sugar cubes. That would be pleasant.
In their arms, Gina?
Yeah, in their arm, yeah.
I have an initiative where every vaccine you get a lollipop. Well, the lollipop initiation, man.
Wait, corn pop or lollipop?
No, lollipop, man. Look, every man, woman, and transgender who goes in for a vaccine.
Transgender?
Gets a lollipop.
But what about Corn Pop? Is that a guy?
Corn Pop, he's a bad dude, man. Come on, I'll bring him up here. Let's have a good time.
You had to deal with Corn Pop.
Let's have a good time, man. Kids are listening.
Did Corn Pop get vaccinated?
Corn Pop is dead.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I was watching a story about you going to South Africa to liberate Nelson Mandela, like back in the day.
Yeah.
I think you got arrested for that trip.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Look, you're going back way, way far back for me. Just stay this week, man.
Mm-hmm.
Even that might be.
Stop throwing curveballs.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah, no, sorry. I was just thinking about this story. What's going on with all this voting rights stuff? What's going on in Georgia?
The voter ID,
that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, look, we got a situation where people come into vote for elections, and then they don't have their IDs. Or they do have their IDs. Either way, man, if you come in there and you say who you are, you have your ID, you can vote.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't say who you are, you don't have your ID, you can't vote. It's that simple.
So we do have IDs?
We have your ID. If you have your ID, then you're going to get a vote. If you don't have it, then you can vote.
Mm-hmm.
Both that should be clear.
Mm-hmm.
If you have your ID, you come into the station. Come on, look. It's like they always said back in the 70s. Remember with the gas lines?
Mm-hmm.
They're Americans too, man. Yeah. They're all Americans.
In the gas line.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they had odd, even license plate.
Odd, even. Right. Divide by 20. Six.
Huh? Hmm?
Come on.
Yeah, okay.
Look.
Sure.
Look, if we're talking about voting rights, everyone deserves a vote, unless you don't have the right to vote.
Right. Okay. Yeah, no,
that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Now, I had a hypothetical for you, Joe. I was thinking about this the other day because I was thinking about voting rights and ID and ID and voting rights. And, you know, my whole angle is always like, look, we shouldn't be arguing over IDs for voting. We should be figuring out who in 2021's America does not have an ID and getting them an ID. We should have bookmobiles that are ID mobiles that are, you know, sponsored by the local DMV who drive to your town and get you an ID. Like, who doesn't have an ID? And then I was thinking about it. I thought, all right, you have a kid. Everyone's got a kid. What would you want for your kid? Here's my hypothetical. Would you wish for, you can only do A or B, your kid never votes in an election, or your kid never has an ID?
Oh, I know which I'd prefer.
It's pretty simple because not voting, you could get through your life without voting, but you could not get through your life without an ID.
You don't compromise life.
Exquisitely compromised, especially now, 2021. So if the answer is we could all live with a kid who never voted in a general election, but we would never wish that upon anyone, not having an ID your entire life. You'd be hobbled in this society. Then the answer should be we'll get people the ID.
Sure.
Joe, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, my boy Hunty, he's got neither one.
He's no voting?
He has no voting card or ID.
Oh, he has an ID. He's doing art now, though, right?
Yeah, don't kick a guy when he's down.
No, I'm saying he's doing art. He's selling the paintings for like $500,000 or something.
Yeah, poor guy.
Oh,
I heard he moved to Malibu.
That's pretty good.
I'll kick a guy when he's down.
No, Malibu's nice.
He's had a hard life, man.
No, I'm saying it's good. He's selling his art for $500,000.
He's had a job there. He's only making $80,000 a month. Comes back home and all these smiles. Now, look.
He moved to Malibu. That's good.
Come on. Look, that's my boy. That's my Hunty you're talking about.
He's doing well for himself.
That's my Hunty you're talking about, pal. I had to go over there and give you a knuckle sandwich. He's making beautiful art. There's no picture there, but he draws houses and pictures.
He blows it with like a straw or something.
That's crack. Look.
No, he's doing the art.
Art with the crack. Look.
No,
that's
he's
how
blowing,
he gets. He gets into the zone. He needs that. He doesn't smoke crack. He does chewables.
Right.
There's chewable crack?
Yeah, man. Look, they got chewable everything. Chewable vitamins. Chewable gum.
He just eats a crack rock.
It's crack.
Okay.
Well, what I'm saying is I'm complimenting his art. This art is serviceable.
Yeah, it's got good art.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but you got that. You got that attitude behind your smile.
No, no. I'm not thinking he moved to Malibu. I don't know where he is.
He's
in Malibu.
He's trying to get by.
Yeah, in Malibu. Yeah.
He's roughing it, man.
No. He's in Malibu. He's in the hills of Malibu.
He's just back there with his paint and the surf, and that's all he's got.
He's just blowing the stuff. It's kind of interesting.
He got confused. He thought that was correct.
Okay. Oh. Well, I'm saying.
You still get high off that stuff, though.
And like $500,000 a pop.
Yeah, man. Well, look, hopefully it'll increase in price and he'll start to make a living. But until then, I support him 100%.
Okay. That's, I'm just saying.
Dad's standing by his kid.
Yeah.
Look at that. He drew some. There's circles. You see that one?
A lot of circles.
That's a $1 million painting right there. You only got $500,000 for that one. And look at that spider one. Look at the spider one right on top of that. That should be at least $45 million. He only got two.
I don't know how. I don't know how it works, but
it appreciates.
He's selling his paintings for $500.
Well, that's doing well for himself.
He invented that style of blowing the paint on the screen there.
Oh, he did, yeah.
Yeah, crack pipe broke, and he had paint in there. It came right out on the piece of paper.
It's very becoming.
His first painting is only sold for $100,000, man, but he kept going because he's got stick 'em to him.
Stick 'em?
That's what my boy Hunty has. Stick with him. Sticks with it.
Good.
And now he's getting by.
Yeah. How's Dr. Jill doing?
Huh?
Your wife.
Who?
Dr. Jill.
What about him?
No. The girl. The
guy turning a girl? There's nothing wrong with that, man.
No.
Whatever he wants to be is fine by Uncle Joe.
No, I'm saying your wife, Dr. Jill.
Oh, yeah.
Married to her.
Yeah, she's all right.
Okay.
She's an all right lady.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay. nothing really important comes out of that mouth, to be honest with you.
Some people say she runs the show. You know, she day to day, she kind of...
No, man, she just tells me what to do. I make the decisions.
Wait a minute. She tells you what to do?
She tells what to do, but I go in there and I put down the hammer and I say what's what.
So she... Wait, who makes the decisions? You do or
this guy. Does? The guy with two thumbs that are pointing at him right now.
Well, you, Joe
and
Biden.
And she's
right?
The one who just whispers in you, oh dear, what's going on? What's going to happen? And then Uncle Joe makes it happen.
So is she calling the shots or are you calling the shots?
Look, man, he's in Malibu. There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, no, that's Hunter. Hunter's in Malibu.
Look, they're both all right people.
I heard that, you know, Hunter has to have Secret Service protection,
sure,
right?
But they
can't live in the house with him.
Nope.
So they were looking at renting out the house. The Secret Service was renting out the house, like,
next
across
door,
the street.
Nice. What a gig.
Yeah.
From Hunter to be protect him, right? You obviously, you know about that.
I don't trust those guys.
You know, Secret Service?
Yeah, they're dressed like men in black.
Well, Hunter must have a call sign, right? Like, he must have a name. Like,
I was going to say, didn't they protect you for 8 years as vice president? You should be used to it by now.
What? Yeah, look.
What was your call? I mean,
Skipper.
Then we say, huh?
Skipper.
Skipper's your call sign?
Yeah, Skipper's down again.
Oh, so that's what they would say, like the Secret Service.
Yeah,
like,
you know, Black Hawk down. It was White Skipper down.
White Skipper down.
When I trip and fall.
All right, so that was you.
Yeah.
Does Hunter have a call sign?
I don't know what his call sign is, but if I were to give him a call sign, supposed to be something to the order of Hunty McServes a lot.
Oh. Hunty McServes
that just came out of my mouth.
Oh, okay.
I didn't think about it at all. It's probably not very good.
No, it's serviceable.
Not super covert. I feel like we could figure out who that
Peter.
Was.
Peter.
Mm-hmm. Peter.
Not Hunty, just to hide his identity.
Yeah.
We got a couple of calls up there.
Would you guys like to know what the odds are for President Biden to make it through all 4 years?
Yeah.
According to Bet Online, it is, will he complete first term as president? Yes, minus 200. So it's a decent favorite, minus 200. Not to make it all 4 years, plus 150.
Is that?
Slight underdog.
Right, so that's almost even, sort of, with the VIG. Is that how they...
I mean, minus 120 each, of course, would be even. But this is not a huge, you know, swing to make it all the way through. It's a slight favorite.
Slight favorite to make it through. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. Let's talk to...
A 1-2 favorite. You'd have to bet $200 to win 100, for example.
Right. We'll talk to Dan from Florida. Dan?
Hi, guys.
Hi, Guy.
Hi, Dan.
Adam, I want to know if you've noticed a trend in traffic that I've noticed over the past few years. I'm about your age, maybe a little younger, and we were coming up. If you missed your turn, they told you, you know, just keep going, make your turn, and then go where you're going to go, right?
Yes.
Now, it seems like often, very often, I'm behind somebody who misses their turn, and they refuse to miss the turn. They just stop.
Yeah. No.
Wait, however long they have
I
to wait,
marvel at
make
this.
Make that turn, cross however many lines of traffic, it makes me insane.
And then there's their cousin, which is the one who was supposed to turn left and realizes they're not. And now they stop in the left lane and they're like, I'll just wedge myself in and I'll just back everyone up. It's like, just fucking go one block, turn left, and turn left again. And then you'll be back where you started again. Like, such a weird thing. It's so eminently fixable. Right. Like, you just go right, left, you know, the circle. Everyone's missed their turnoff or missed their off ramp. Don't stop in the middle of the fucking freeway or the highway or whatever. Like, wedge yourself over that way. Yes, it has to come from this weird autonomy that we're all living in, which is the more earbuds and the more. So, like, when I was young, you would drive with the windows down. And when you drove with the windows down, you experienced nature when you were driving. A smell of fuel, horn honking. You could smell guys smoking in the car next to you. And it was very, like, it was interactive, you know?
Multisensory experience.
You were driving a stick shift. The windows were down. And if you fucked up, like, you could hear it from the other cars. Now, all the windows are up and the air's set at 71 and you got your Enya playing or you're listening to your podcast or whatever it is and you're just in your own little world. And when you're in your little world, then it's just you who needs to turn. It's not fuck society and whoever's around you and whatever, whoever's behind you and whoever the other humans are that are trying to tend to their life. It's just you. So now you missed your turn, and now you will try to stop in the left lane and wedge your car into whatever. Yes, this is a this is an issue, but I think, like I said, like we used to kind of be in nature. Windows were down, sights, smells, sounds. You know, you were in it, and so you couldn't really do what you wanted to do.
Right. Well, and you, to the notion that you'd hear about it right away. I wish there was some sort of mechanism on a car that the car could determine whether you are honking for danger or honking just to be a dick. Because I believe that if you're going to honk just to be a dick.
Or the wake up honk.
Yeah, well, if you're going to honk just to be a dick, the windows have to come down. Because people, the windows are sealed. They lay on their horn. They upset every human being around them and they don't even hear it.
Yeah. Dan, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's been making me crazy, and every time I see it, I think of you, and I wonder if you've noticed. I feel like it's mostly younger people, you know, this horrible generation that they don't realize there's anyone behind them. I'm also curious from Kyle what Andrew Cuomo would say to this predicament.
Well, let Andrew Cuomo regale you with this story, a quick story. My grandfather used to drive a steam engine.
Okay.
One day, he was in the front. There wasn't much to do. His pants came down to his ankles. He wanted to masturbate on the train. Okay. There wasn't another stop for 2 hours. He felt he could lay back, fantasize, and pleasure himself. Okay. The problem is they turned the tracks off the route he was expecting. He crashed into a little town, was ejected naked with a penis in his hand. Terrible. Embarrassing the family Cuomo name. Until now. We have recovered.
Hey, Chris.
Real rhythm to his speech.
You can find Cuomo. Cuomo had a great... I wish I had one-tenth of whatever Cuomo's got in his veins, because he did, like, they dropped... The whole DOJ dropped the investigation to the nursing home and blah, blah, blah.
That's nice.
And Cuomo just got up there and he was like, he does everything perfectly. It's 100% about saving lives. He did nothing wrong. Like, it is, there are certain, I am always jealous of the guys that don't, they don't have a reverse gear. They don't reflect, like, they don't internalize. They're just, I'm 1,000% this 100% of the time. And he's just that dude. Like, I don't know. I you know, it sounds like I'm mocking him, but I'm really, I'm not. Like, where did you get all this? How do you feel so good about yourself? How come there's not that part where you go, like, look, I understand maybe the things I could have done differently, right, and possibly better, and, you know, I'm not perfect, you know, but he's just like 100%, like, everything was great, no, everything was right, 1,000% everything.
Well, saying that, now I would give any amount of money to see Trump and Cuomo debate each other.
Oh, that would be the greatest.
It would be the heavyweight championship.
Yeah, I would watch that all day long. Speaking, I don't know, those, what it was. It was Cuomo, I think, doing a press conference after they dropped the whole nursing home thing. But he was, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to, speaking to those two guys, do you think it's a politics thing? That it's a self-selecting sample that attracts people with that personality disorder of I'm never wrong.
Don't have a weakness.
I think it used to be.
Can't admit to any kind of weakness.
It used to be, you know, if you deal with Mark Garagos and you're going to be deposed. If anyone's ever been deposed, well, you get deposed where, you know, they say to you, like, well, do you think there are things you could have done differently? And you're like, yeah, I mean, on retrospect, maybe I could have handled this better. Mm-hmm. And they go, and this other person that's suing you, do you think they have some good qualities? And you go, like, yeah, well, I mean, they're not book smart, but they're street smart. But the New World Order, and Mark Garagos will tell you, and so let's go, like, do you think there are anything you could have done differently? Like, no, 1,000% everything was perfect. That's all great. Of the time. And then what about this person? He's a retarded buffoon who does nothing right ever. It's like, that's the New World Order. Like, you can't own something a little bit. You can't see some gray area. There's nothing.
No nuance.
1,000%.
Do you guys remember reading the Star Report in the late 90s when that came out?
Cover,
I remember
cover.
I was working in an office and it was just mesmerizing. Everyone's reading and thinking, oh, this guy's toast. Oh my God. He shoved a cigar up her in the Oval Office. Oh my God. And just hung around. Everyone forgot about it, moved on. It's the same kind of thing. I mean, Clinton did admit, sort of, yeah, I shouldn't have done that, but just hang around. Just wait.
Yeah, or you're Al Franken and you're out. Like, we have this weird way to mete out punishment, which is like people that did next to nothing are banished, and people that did everything are like, eh, still around.
If I did something bad, I would not apologize. I've learned that you just get in trouble if you apologize.
Yeah, sorry.
Not that I've done anything wrong.
No,
give it a shot, Kyle.
Sound like I did.
The New World Order is just do not apologize, do not reverse gear, do not say anything, just 1,000% guns blazing, full steam ahead. Mm-hmm. That's it. Did you find Cuomo?
Yeah, it's like 5.5 minutes long. We're just scrubbing through it.
All right, well,
I think we got it.
We'll get into that. What do we got here? O'Reilly? Yeah, today's show is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You can visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today. They have professional parts people, and they can help you find the exact battery for your vehicle. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts, or you can visit them at O'ReillyAuto.com. We have a story about this, Max Pata?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few. So, obviously, we heard about Matt Fondelier. His battery died before work, and so he switched to the Superstart battery, and his car's been running really great. So, I mean,
he called me. He's like, boss, my car died. I'm running late. I'm at the Starbucks. I need a battery. And I said, get set up with the Superstart. And he did.
Boom.
Boom. And he, oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Kyle Dunnigan.
Yeah.
Oh, you
think he
do.
Needs to hear Matt.
You need to hear Matt.
Oh, right. That's this is right. Matt. Oh, I do Matt. How does he sound? Shit.
We got to figure out when Matt's. Yeah, because he's not Stallone. He's not ubiquitous. He's, like, he's not a household.
He's like, hey, boss. It wasn't like a, hey, boss.
Yeah, it's that guy. Yeah.
Ooh, so, car got stuck.
Yeah, but you got the Superstart battery from O'Reilly.
Oh, yeah. It's working great, boss. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Does it sound like him?
Yeah. That's exactly what he sounds like. Do you have Matt anywhere, Brian?
A lot of the old drops didn't make their way onto this computer. Long story short, not anybody.
Window of negligence.
I have Boom. The drops. Can help him.
Uh-huh. Do we have Boom? We'll try Boom. Let's see if we can do Matt. So you put the Superstart battery in the Honda and boom.
Hold on.
Brian will find it.
Sorry, man.
Didn't make the drops. Didn't make the drops, boss. Wish I did. That's cool. That's cool, I guess.
Yeah, and then we have him doing sign language, but he's not speaking.
That won't help you at all.
Brian will find it. Anyone can find it.
And also, I had a couple gigs this weekend, Adam, and my drummer put the hazards on outside of the venue to load and unload his drums. He put the hazards on after he loaded the drums and thought, okay, I'm going to have a drink inside for a little bit. And the hazards ran out his battery because it wasn't the Superstart battery.
Well, that's why. Yeah. Your drummer, who also destroyed the bathroom on the cruise ship.
No, that was the bass player. You have a 1 in 3 chance of figuring that out.
Yeah, you leave those hazards
window
on.
Window of negligence.
Oh, wait. Play it again.
Window of negligence.
Window. Oh, wait. Sorry. One more time. That's really short.
Yeah.
Window of negligence.
Oh, here's
window
here's,
of negligence.
Here's Kyle doing that.
Oh, hey, come on, how about a new Matt, huh? Oh, new Matt.
Well, go down to O'Reilly and get your Superstart battery, and you can see all the parts professionals, the parts people. They can help you over there. O'ReillyAuto.com. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back with Kyle. We'll do that right after this.